I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. To become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening. It'll be jam-packed with information as usual. We'll be talking about the Essene civilization. We'll be talking about breaking soul contracts. We'll be talking about reincarnation. And before we get to all that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by asking the guys in the booth to play a short clip of Sri Swami Satchidananda and leading us in some Hari Om mantra meditation. So if the guys in the booth would play that now, that'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari, Hari, Om.
Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om. Hari, 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 Om.
Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om. Hari, 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 Om.
Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om. Hari, 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 Om.
Hari, Hari,
Om. Hari, 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 Om.
Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om. Hari, 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 Om.
Hari,
Hari, Om. Hari, Om. Hari, 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Hari Hari Om.
Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om,
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om.
Hari
Hari Om.
Hari
Om.
Hari
Om.
Hari
Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Om.
Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om.
Om,
Hari 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 Om.
Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om.
Hari, Hari, Om.
I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. I'd like to now get right into giving some background information for lots of pretty important topics, I think, tonight, because we're going to be talking about some issues with the reincarnation system. Just an amazing bunch of information that I'm going to try and cram into this one-hour segment of ET Yoga. And I think some of this background of the scenes will kind of set the stage for some of these important issues, such as breaking soul contracts and some of the trickery that's involved even after the death experience. I also would like to give my appreciation to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you. And also, if you would like to hear the replay of this broadcast, you can always go to my website at etyoga.com. And on the main page, just hit the radio archive button, and it'll take you to about the last 10 ET Yoga programs. And today's date will be there probably a day or two at the most after the actual airing of the program. And the Essenes actually were ancient Atlantean souls, and they had completely overcome the problems of health and aging, and even overcome the force of gravity as the Atlanteans had been able to do. And three basic principles were followed by the Essenes in their healing. First, it was believed that divinity was expressed in the plant kingdom as an antidote for the illness of the human kingdom, that for every illness there existed a palliative in a root, leaf, bark of a tree or plant. The Essenes, therefore, were herbalists in the highest sense of the word. A second method of healing was to make use of healing stones, bits of various kinds of rock or hardened earth. The power of such stones in influencing magnetic fields under the direction of one who is versed in this type of therapy became common knowledge at a later period, and the Essenes also created salves from natural sources. The third method of healing, in which the Essenes were extremely well-versed, drew upon the healing powers of the invisible worlds around them. They acquired an unparalleled mastery in manipulating these healing powers of the superior spheres. They were also aware of the cleansing miracle of pure water. The Essene communal life was based on a set of rules of conduct, spiritual disciplines, and lifestyles, practices called the Essene Halakoth. And the Essene Halakoth was given by their line of chief priests called Teachings of Righteousness, and reached its zenith with the ultimate master or teacher, and that would be in Jesus. And Jesus was known to have been raised in this Essene culture. And the Essene Halakoth was, in fact, a yoga system. And it united seven basic yoga systems in a grand synthesis. And the Essene yoga included Raja Yoga, silent meditation, Hatha Yoga, the physical postures and breath work, Bhakti Yoga, love and devotion to God, Jnana Yoga, spiritual study and discourse, Laya Yoga, the science of using the chakras to bring about higher states of consciousness and spiritual realization, Karma Yoga, creative work for the upliftment of all, and Mantra Yoga, verbal prayer, singing, and chanting of mantras. And I might note that Sri Swami Satchidananda's integral yoga includes all of those different branches of yoga except for the Laya Yoga, and that's like 2,000 years later. Central to the Essene Yoga was a lifestyle practice called the Sevenfold Peace, which included a meditation practice called Communions with the Tree of Life. In the ancient Essene manuscripts, Jesus predicted his enemies would alter his teachings after his crucifixion, and his teachings would become corrupt. And not long afterwards, according to the Essenes, his true followers were executed as heretics. Christianity then became a state-run religion run by corrupt kings via their puppet popes. They altered the New Testament. They removed all referrals to the Essenes and eliminated Jesus' teachings on vegetarianism, reincarnation, and the feminine aspect of God. About 20 years after the crucifixion, Paul, who had never met Jesus, split off from the vegetarian Essene Nazarene Christianity and started a competing meat-eating branch of Christianity. The old apostles, who had actually known and had been trained by Jesus, continued to heed the Essene Nazarene Christian movement and refused to participate in the corrupted version of Christianity founded by Paul. The old apostles, including James, Peter, John, and Thomas, declared that Paul was altering the true teachings of Jesus because Paul threw out Jesus' doctrine on vegetarianism and other lifestyle practices. And I'm giving all that information kind of in light of the fact that it relates to this whole process of the reincarnation aspect of life. I might also add, and if there's time later in the program, I will also include some of these specifics, ultimate truths of reality, which also came from the Essenes. And this was information that was kept in the mystery schools for about 2,000 years. It came out about 10 years ago through a channeling by Gene Hatch of Mother Mary. And basically, the ultimate truths of reality are all about how things work actually in the third dimension. And I think highly, highly important. And I've noticed that lately you can't even find these anymore. So I'm glad that every so often I do bring these up on ET Yoga. And with respect to the concept of reincarnation, I know a lot of people in the West have an issue with the concept. But I might point out that even Paramahansa Yogananda has said that the concept of reincarnation used to be part of early Christian belief, but was removed. And from Autobiography of a Yogi, the early Christian church accepted the doctrine of reincarnation, which was expounded by the Gnostics and by numerous church fathers, including Clement of Alexandria, the celebrated Origen, both 3rd century, and St. Jerome, 5th century. The doctrine was first declared a heresy in A.D. 553 by the Second Council of Constantinople. And I think that if you do your research, you'll find that that is very factual. And interesting to note that this whole concept of reincarnation. And the reason I'm bringing it up on ET Yoga tonight is that apparently there's some real issues with this reincarnation grid. I might point out that a number of people, including Alex Collier, Barbara Marciniak, Simon Parks, Andrew Bartzes, have all talked about issues with respect to the reincarnation grid. And I might add that according to the Pleiadians and channeling from Barbara Marciniak, all religions were created by the Anunnaki, and you can view Sunday services as club meetings of the Anunnaki. Further, the symbol of the cross is a symbol of the crossing planet Nibiru. And, of course, that's the planet inhabited by the Anunnaki. And according to Barbara Marciniak, the final rites given by the priests include a passing of the cross over the chakras, which shuts them down, and next you find yourself in an Anunnaki recycling chamber. This is the point of concern here. Personally, I don't really care what people want to believe in, but as for me, I'm not interested in any final rites from some priest shutting down my chakra system. And also affecting me ending up in a place where I don't want to be. So I do practice on a daily basis, intending that upon my life ending, that my soul returns to source energy. Not really interested in this Anunnaki Recycling Center. And I might also point out that according to information from Adranus, and that's from Syrian information, that there is an AI intelligence that controls the reincarnation system. And I think that's by several other sources I've talked about, this Archons have taken over the reincarnation system. And the information that I've been getting is that there's quite a few tricks that have been played with people after their death experience. And some of that has to do with actually tricking us to stay inside the Saturn matrix. And how that's done is basically, depending on your beliefs, they may impersonate family members, or depending on your particular beliefs, they can appear, like if, for example, if you're very much into the church, they might appear as Jesus or Mary or St. Peter at the pearly gates, whatever it is that your belief system is connected with. And also, we've been trained from early on to go towards the light. And apparently, this is not the way to go. This is part of taking you towards that Anunnaki recycling chamber. The best analogy I've seen on this comes from actually an episode from Star Trek Voyager. And the title is Humans Are Tricked into Staying in the Saturn Matrix. And this is from Vague Anomaly. And it is really, Janeway is actually goes through an experience where they fake represent her father who had died previously, and she's going through a particular scenario. And this is on YouTube. So I highly recommend you check this out. Humans Are Tricked into Staying into the Saturn Matrix, and that's from Vague Anomaly. And to me, this is really important information because it so ties in as well with the soul contract revocations, and that's been put out by Andrew Bartzes, the galactic historian. If you haven't heard about Andrew Bartzes, he is a galactic historian, and he has actually got several contract revocations, one for removal for media systems, one for revocation of the banking system, one for revocation of government, and also soul contract revocation for the divine masculine and soul contract removal to free the divine feminine. Highly recommend that you could check out that. It's Bartzes, B-A-R-T-Z-I-S, Andrew. Andrew Bartzes, the galactic historian. And you can download all those soul contracts. Quite an interesting concept. And part of the reason that that this is being made available to us is that for those of us who are interested in being free when we leave here after death, apparently these groups that are kind of in control, they're all connected. That's the connection between the Alpha Draconians, the Greys, and the Archons that are actually what they do is they actually pose as lords of karma, and they take you through a life review, and they really lay a big guilt trip on you and get you to agree to a whole lot of things that really you would probably normally not agree to. And apparently the afterlife review is a trap. They get you to agree to certain soul contracts, including bad karma from others accepted by them, and you agree to be part of the system. And this is definitely not to our advantage. And I think it's a really important subject that people need to be made aware of. I also found another way to deal with this issue, and I'll just read a paragraph from this as a particular way to deal with some of these soul contracts, and that is to prepare yourself with strong intention with your source self authority and state out loud vocally that you revoke all soul contracts, past, present, and future, as well as all death contracts, past, present, and future, in all realms and dimensions, and that now all contracts are revoked, null and voided, and destroyed in all realms and dimensions. And when you say all with intent, then all of them will be revoked. And apparently the soul language or soul contracts are written in soul language, and changing a contract, you need to speak it. And this helps with removing your energy from the system. I think, and when I heard that, one of the things that struck me was the whole hippie generation back in the 60s that basically dropped out of the system, and it's one of the things that apparently, according to Simon Parks, almost crashed global control structure. Can't really have people dropping out of the system. And if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, you'll know that kind of in a nutshell, although ET Yoga is primarily involved with the whole concept of self-realization and the true yoga, which is yoga meaning union of you and your higher self, it centers largely around belief and belief systems. And also a lifestyle that's kind of like an Amish lifestyle and an Essene lifestyle, but without religion, spirituality, but not religion. And this particular time we're living in sees this connection between Alfred de Kooning's civilization and Grays, which have been controlling us for a long, long time, and through the church, and clearly there's a connection with the church, particularly the Catholic Church, and controlling the population. In fact, another thing that you might want to research is Santos Bonacci's particular research that he's been doing with respect to a soul contract that has been stated by the church, the Catholic Church in particular, and had never been challenged over hundreds of years. And it's basically the church claims the souls of everybody on this planet. And Unum Sanctus is the name of that particular trust that the Catholic Church set up. And I think it's another one of those subjects that really needs to be researched, because clearly... we seem to be in an age here where there's a lot of manipulation. And I might add that even with respect to extraterrestrials, what we're finding is that this whole abduction scenario, and that's primarily done by the Grays. And, of course, there's lots of different types of Grays. But as a general group, we're going to call them the Grays. And according to Bashar, Grays were basically not really extraterrestrial. They were more interdimensional. Apparently, they were a future version of humans that basically destroyed themselves, even lost their capacity to reproduce, and went through different alternative timelines and parallel universes to find us, because we obviously have some compatible DNA with them. And what they've been doing through this abduction process is creating hybrid species to perpetuate their existence. And apparently one of the civilizations that was created was the Esasani, which Bashar is part of, and also the Yael. And the Yael apparently will be the ones that will make first contact with us, public contact. And they'll be actually uniting some of these hybrid children with their Earth parents. And that's another subject that you might find quite fascinating to check out. Although it's been called the hybridization program, I call it the abduction program, and because that's basically what it is. And that also ties in with this reincarnation and this phony Lords of Karma and this Anunnaki Recycling Center, because the whole idea here is that they get you to agree to certain soul contracts and certain situations that you're born into, such as abusive parents or abductions and all kinds of things. And I was told a few years ago that, well, the way this was all justified was that people had agreed to add soul contracts and had agreed to these abductions, you know, prior to their incarnating here. And so I kind of thought, well, you know, maybe if there were, they were grays, and they were actually grays who incarnated on Earth, and they're keeping track of their own species, and they're involved with the abduction scenario, I could at least kind of at least understand that partially. But the part I could never quite get was, how come there's millions and millions and millions of people that have been abducted, and wait a minute, there's only like about 2,500 actual grays. The other parts of the grays are more like clones. So how is this possible for only 2,500 grays to be involved with so many people? Well, then it clicks. It all clicks because people are tricked into this because the grays are kind of gophers for the Alpha Draconis civilization. And they are part and parcel of this reincarnation grid or system. And they get people to agree to this stuff, that even though they're not really involved with the grays. So it all kind of then made sense to me. And I really think that it's certainly a subject that, to my way of thinking, like Daryl Anka is a channel for Bashar, they made an agreement before this lifetime that they would do this, but Daryl was also asked during this lifetime whether he agreed, and he did. And to me, that's the proper way to go about things. You don't just dupe people into agreeing to certain soul contracts and then, without their permission, start abducting them. To me, this is a violation of human rights. And I really wanted to bring this to the attention of the ET Yoga listening audience because, as you probably know over the years, that I just go for the truth and I'm not really interested in manipulation. And I should also point out that when you're doing some of these soul contract revocations, and I'm really thinking that these are really important, the good thing about it is that when you're doing these verbally, then that becomes part of the Akashic record. And I think that's really important. I think that there's two big things here that are really important. Number one is to place a positive spin on this whole thing, the whole aspect of the reincarnation thing, the whole aspect of learning about the soul revocation or soul contract revocations, and throwing a positive spin on this whole situation because it can turn out to be very positive. And as I like to state it, even living in society and all its systems, personally, I mean, nobody's forcing you to drink the fluoridated water. you can get a purification system, and thus you don't have to have your pineal gland calcified. You don't have to eat at fast food restaurants. You don't have to be a meat eater. You don't have to, I mean, for most people, you're not forced to take their vaccines. There are many things that are going on in our society that if you really think about it, if you can extricate yourself from those systems, then you're really in a way dropping out from providing those systems with more energy. And in my opinion, there might also be a revocation here for the medical, because to my way of thinking, the public really isn't aware of the fact that the single leading cause of death in the United States is actually medical error. They have a specific name for it. It's called iatrogenic, I-A-T-R-A-G-E-N-I-C, iatrogenic death. And it kills about 750,000 people a year. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this figure just outrageous. It's like over a 10-year period, we're talking about over 7 million people that die of accident or medical procedure. To me, this is just outrageous. One of the reasons why I distance myself from that system. Personally, I don't know. Like, if I was thinking of when I was growing up, if I was living in the neighborhood and there was a doctor in the neighborhood, and let's say you heard about the fact that like 10 people died accidentally from being treated by this person, would you be in a big rush to be involved with them? Well, I don't know. I don't think so. And basically, that's analogous to the situation today. I mean, we're talking about 750,000 people a year, and it doesn't even make mainstream media. It's not even a mention of it. I mean, can you imagine if a naturopathic doctor killed 10 people, or if any of the procedures that are naturopathy or Qigong or something killed 100 people or 1,000 people, it'd make every headline in every paper in the country. So this is all part and parcel of, you know, energy goes where the focus is, and clearly the mainstream media has its own control groups, and they place their focus and try to create their spin on reality and create your reality for you. So, you know, to me, this whole concept, my opinion is that if I was involved with the medical system, sooner or later they'd mess me up, either through their vaccines or through their pills or through their procedures or their even the x-rays. The bottom line is, sooner or later, they're going to create problems for you. So I personally, in my world, extricate myself from that system as well. And the one system that I really think that people have, it's one of the hardest to extricate yourself is from dependency on the financial systems. And to my way of thinking, again, the hippie generation seemed to have the answer for that, too, with their communal lifestyle, because I don't really see anybody individually being able to extricate themselves from that system unless they're just independently wealthy. And with people working together to create self-sufficient communities, I think this will be the wave of the future. And I think that Michael Tellinger is really onto something with his Ubuntu movement, because it is all about creating self-sufficient communities with a food base at their origin, and then people do their passion a certain number of hours a week, as well as contributing to the community at large for other portions of their time. And I might point out that I've mentioned this before in ET Yoga, but if there's ET Yoga listeners that would like to become a part of a group that does that, I appreciate hearing from you. And you can always contact me at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And so to my way of thinking, not giving energy to these systems in time, they just fall away. And certainly, I am personally, have my own opinions about certain aspects of our society that I just do not wish to contribute to or provide them energy of any kind. And I might now like to actually get into what I think is some really excellent information that comes from Teal Swan, because these soul contracts are then recorded in the Akashic Record. And I really think it's important to know a little bit more about the Akashic Record. And the Akashic Record are symbolic representation that the brain uses to represent the fact that every thought which has ever been thought exists. The Akashic Record is the collective consciousness. It has been referred to as the mind of God, and which as such happens to contain the information in the energetic vibration of every thought which has ever been thought in any way and all universes that have ever been since the first division of oneness or source. It also contains a bit of future, in that from where you stand right now, you have paths of probability which extend past your lifetime. The future is always a vibrational match to the present, and so if you change a thought in the present, the future paths change. When we in human consciousness often think of this storage of thoughts, we associate it with a library, because that's what we in our human lifespan see as a collection of information. When people visit these nonlinear dimensions, the experience of being there is being pulled into linear understanding. So that which is not linear is being formatted in a linear way by the brain when you come back into third dimensional reality. The entire experience is experienced as sorting through records or images, so an image library of sorts. Dimensions are divided in terms of vibration. They're not a spatial concept. They're, in reality, all dimensions exist on top of one another and in the same space. They are just different vibrations overlapped one on the other. So you are existing on all dimensions at all times. The general consensus is that this information is stored in the fifth dimension, but Teal believes information is stored on the dimension it corresponds to. So you can think of the entire Akashic Record as a giant library, and this library is source. The brain is probably thinking of a building, because the brain cannot understand the concept of no beginning and no end, and it cannot understand the concept of no borders. So let's call source the ultimate dimension. All the dimensions within the library could be seen as different levels within a library. And there's different information relative to each level. So each successive floor in the library is more expansive than the floor below it. So each successive floor contains all the information in the floors below it, including new information relative to the expansion or the expansive totality of unity consciousness. Accessing the Akashic Records has to do with you increasing your vibratory rate so as to be a match to one floor, and then the next floor, and then the next, and so on. In the fourth dimension, which is the one just outside the third dimension, we have access to every thought which has ever been thought relative to this single lifetime from your birth to your death. It also contains your thought form, which is basically the energetic self-concept you have of you, which is why when you get out of body, in the fourth dimension, you'll experience your energy body, which is an energy duplicate. In the fifth dimension, every possible timeline from the single prints that you've chosen for your third dimensional life exist. In the sixth dimension, you are unlimited by space and time, and so you can instantly experience a new timeline within that fifth dimension from any of the probabilities in the fifth dimension. So instantly you could switch to the outcome of what would have occurred if something back in your infancy had been totally radically changed. So if one of the probability paths that you didn't end up taking, say you were 6 months old, you could chase that all the way to the end and instantly experience the end result of that particular probability path. In the seventh dimension, the sixth dimension is treated almost like a single point, so there is no timeline anymore. The sixth dimension is one point where all possibilities in terms of timelines in our universe and all possible endings for our universe are contained. They are contained in the single point called infinity. So all possible timelines which could have or will have occurred since the birth of this universe, since the Big Bang, are contained in the seventh dimension. How could there be more than infinity? Well, the answer is there can be other infinities, other universes created under different conditions, and when other universes are created under different conditions, there are different laws which apply to that universe. So in the eighth dimension, that's where you begin to have access to the infinity relative to this lifetime of this universe as it relates to the infinity of another universe or universes. In the ninth dimension, you have access to being able to instantly experience any probability path from any timeline of being in any universe instantaneously. The tenth dimension is the top level. What you're going to be experiencing with the tenth dimension is all probabilities of all universes in the ninth dimension, and all of those probabilities of all these universes in the ninth dimension are treated now as a single point. Then you are the library itself. Outside the tenth dimension, you are entering the zero-point field. So in the tenth dimension, all universes from the ninth dimension are treated as a single point. Past the tenth dimension, you don't have a single point. What you have is this zero-point field, which is a sea of probability waves, which we would call source. That is the totality of collective consciousness, not the expression of that consciousness. Most people refer to the Akashic Record from the seventh dimension, which is where the frequencies of past lives exist. So that would be the totality of probabilities which have occurred for one soul, from its origin and in this universe to its end in this universe. So this is a seventh dimensional energy record. And like anything else, you're limited by your beliefs. So you access information in the Akashic Record or these energetic frequencies by becoming a match to those frequencies first. So A, you'd have to believe that they exist, and B, you have to believe that you can get there, and C, you have to structure all of your belief patterns so as to let go of third-dimensional reality in order to be a match for the Akashic Record. And to me, that's the best exhaustive definition of the Akashic Record that I've ever come across. And that's from Teal Swan. And I might add that it was Santos Bonacci, and that's Bonacci, that talks about this Catholic Church Express Trust, and it's called Onum Sanctum. That's Onumsanctum. And basically it means that all the world and all the souls in it are theirs. And no one has ever challenged this. Definitely an interesting person to check out his research in this particular area. That's Santos Bonacci. And I did mention that earlier that if we had some time, I would go into a few points from the Ultimate Truths of Reality, because to my way of thinking, these are the teachings that, someone with higher consciousness would make available. I mean, to my way of thinking, anybody with higher consciousness is going to know, for one thing, that reincarnation is a fact. And anybody with higher consciousness is not into putting dead carcasses into their body, so they're not going to be meat eaters. So these two principles of reincarnation and vegetarianism, they just go hand in hand from high levels of consciousness. And the ultimate truths of reality, like ET Yoga, are primarily based all around beliefs. Because the fact of the matter is that in this holographic sort of reality, I guess, what do you want to call it, reality creation computer that we live in that's holographic, the science has figured out that it's all based in consciousness, the energy is consciousness, and that the language of interpretation is belief. And I'll just point out some of these ultimate truths of reality. No one can create in my reality but me. Nothing can be in my reality unless I create it. Everything in my reality is created by my beliefs. As a creator, I am 100% responsible for everything I create. Everything happens for a reason. There are no accidents. Nothing happens by chance. I create 100% of the time. I have the power to choose whether I apply that 100% toward creating what I want or energizing what I don't want. I am the only one there is. I am not divided into parts. All events are neutral. There are no negative experiences, although I can choose to define any experience as negative. Therefore, if I'm experiencing negativity in my life, then I have chosen it. There's only one vibration, love. Fear is the illusion of the absence or lack of love. I cannot be in fear unless I believe that whatever I fear has more power than I do. How I feel is a reaction to what I believe. All disease is caused by the denial of negativity within. There are no victims, there are only lessons. I am the only authority in my life. However, in an attempt to avoid taking responsibility for being that authority, I can choose to falsely believe that someone or something else has power over me. Every person, place, or thing of which I become aware is a mirror and has the potential to be a gift. At any given moment, I'm either giving love or asking for love. I am that which I create. There are no limitations. If I have an experience that I define as a limitation, it is happening as a result of the way I think. The appearance of all limitation is merely an effect of error thinking. God has no limitations, and as an aspect of God, neither do I, unless I believe that I do, in which case I will create the appearance of limitation as a direct result of my belief. Prime Creator, God, all that is. Therefore, I am a creator expressing itself as me. I am not striving for perfection as I'm already perfect. What I'm striving for is to remember my perfection. No one can create in my reality but me. Those are 21 of the ultimate truths of reality passed on from Jean Hatch, her channeling of Mother Mary, and this is from the Essene civilization. I hope I've made that connection there with the Essenes. The Essenes also with their, they were a civilization that actually is not only connected with Atlantis, but survived the downfall of the last fall of Atlantis. And much of this information is clearly, you can research on the internet. And it's usually about this time in the program when I'd like to express my sincere thanks and appreciation for those listeners who do take time to contact me. And that's at paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, at yahoo.ca. I'd also like to express my best wishes towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And it's about this time in the program when we start with a little bit of Japa Yoga, and we usually finish with a little bit of the Who Am I technique. This is a technique that was taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi to his disciples. Sri Ramana Maharshi, I in my own mind, is one of those just unbelievable personages who, when he had his first realization of his higher self, he stayed there. And also, Baba Ram Dass also utilized this technique, and I first came across it in a newspaper called the Georgia Strait that was published years and years ago in Vancouver, British Columbia. And the Who Am I technique is basically, it's a technique to create an experience. It's not an intellectual answer that will be understood by the mind. And the whole idea here is to place the thought I in the center of the forehead, or the Ajna center, and become that spot. And ask the question, who am I? And you can do that a few times, or a couple of times, or once, or whatever seems to be most comfortable for you. But the main idea here is to take your full consciousness and become the I thought that is the spot in the center of your forehead. And then you state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.